Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You are listening to the West Ham Fame Show with West Ham World. I'm Charlie Hawkins. This is Love Sport. And tonight I've been joined by Tom Edwards and Will Pugh. And we're going to be talking pre-season because the boys are telling me no one cares. Who actually cares? The results don't matter. It's all about match fitness. It's all about match sharpness. Getting the players integrated. A little bit of team bonding. Giving the youth a chance. That's the party line that we're going to take tonight, right? Don't worry about that 4-1 drop into City. Don't worry about the 1-0 to Newcastle. It's not a problem because West Ham have just broke their transfer record signing. $45 million, Sebastian Haller. We're going to be talking about it all. And also, we're going to be talking to Lee Hodges, ex-West Ham midfielder, who, can I just say, Will's described as a legend and Tom's described with the best Barnet in the game. So we're very excited to speak to him later. Lots of transfer chat. We're going to be doing our quiz, West Ham free mystery players. And we're also going to be talking about our club legend of the week. But we have to start with the tour in China, pre-season. What's gone wrong?
I tell you what, actually, Charlie, first of all, what we'd like to start with is, first of all, welcoming you into the fold.
Oh, thank you, mate. Obviously, I appreciate
that. It's a new era for the West Ham World radio show and podcast. So farewell to Johnny, who, just like to say, served us excellently well. It was fantastic.
No pressure then.
No, well, me and James love sitting in the studio with Johnny every week. He was great, but so kudos to him. But we're really excited about having you on board. So that's one thing. And also, just to let everyone know, from next week, obviously, it'll be Tuesdays, the show, won't it? So Wednesdays for quite a while now, but in preparation for the new season, there's some exciting stuff that me and James have got coming. The West Ham World brand might be will be left behind, but news to come, not
exclusive.
Quite yet.
Was that a Love Sport exclusive?
It was,
4 minutes in. Yeah. Tom, we're 4 minutes in. What I liked, he welcomed me, but it was the plug. He just really wanted
shameless
to get the plug. But absolutely, I enjoyed it, Will.
No, it is a Love Sport exclusive, so yeah, it'll be, but from next week, just so everyone knows, listening in, it'll be Tuesday nights from 7 to 8, and it will still be the West Ham show, but West Ham World is no more. But the exciting things to come, which we will we'll let you know in due course. But
well, we'll send it off on a high tonight. This is your final Wednesday West Ham show.
Absolutely. But yeah, so we got Tom. James isn't here obviously this week, which is a shame as always, and I've got a bit of stick from James for calling him Deadwood in the last few weeks, but we had a little bit of a reconciliation last summer.
You hugged it together. Out, I hope.
Oh yeah, we did,
because it is a bromance.
Oh, me and James, of course it is.
Blossoming.
Yeah, blossoming. I don't know.
Yeah, we can't
declining,
I'll
say. Yeah. It's love, hate.
Exactly. We look forward to next season. But say, glad to welcome Tom into the studio tonight. So we've got, say, we touched on the China tour. You brought it up there, Charlie, and you mentioned it there. Who actually cares? It's something that when I put the running order together early on, it's exactly what I said. Who does actually care? And you know why I wrote that? Because, you know, obviously we've lost both the games in the Asia Cup, the Premier League Asia Cup. Which, again, don't know who knew what that was before we'd done it. But we've lost both the games. Lost to City. Went 1-0 up, obviously. Should have probably gone 2-0 up. Should have had another Stonewall penalty that was denied. Then Yarmolenko hits the post as well. But Man City come back and do what they do. Beat us 4-1, which did flatter them a bit. Then we lose to Newcastle in, you know, uninspiring fashion. But, honestly, some of the reaction on Twitter afterwards, I was stunned. It's people calling it an absolute disgrace, and oh, I can't believe it. Oh, what's going on? And it's like, oh, honestly, everyone, we've got an excellent squad. We've just made some massive signings, and I personally do not care at all. But I don't know, Tom, do you feel differently?
No, I don't think you can. The results wise, I don't think you should read anything into pre-season results as a thing. I think the only qualm I took away from it was against Newcastle. I was a bit upset with the application of the players. It seemed like they weren't really there. But again, we're missing the two major signings. It's not really our first team squad there. I know we played a lot of our big players, but at the end of the day, you can't read anything into it. Bar stylistically, we wanted to keep the ball against Man City first half. I think there was a lot of positive signs out of that. And also, we played Man City. We didn't have a Wolves Newcastle game, so our players were a lot more tired, chasing the ball for most of the game in that heat. So you can't blame them. But I think, no, you don't read anything into it for me. Not
and,
results.
And you mentioned the heat there, but me and you have played on better pitches than those, haven't we?
Yes.
Honestly, like the state of that pitch, you know, because where they're playing repeated games on them as well, I agree. The heat was too much, and there are reasons behind it, sure. But honestly, and the funny thing is for me is that whenever we do well in pre-season, we then go on to nearly get relegated the year afterwards. But when we lose all our games and everyone's going in the season going, oh, it's a shambles, this is an absolute nightmare, what's going on? We tend to like smash the first 10 games and we're normally doing all right.
Well, you say that. I knew we was doing the West Ham fan show tonight. I asked Luther Blissett, I said, look, the boys said they don't care about pre-season. We don't care that we're losing. Is that true, Luther? Does it really matter? And he said, well, you know what? It doesn't, because there's a thing called momentum and, you know, team bonding. We've got the wings. We can really feel like we can kick on there. And I want to ask you both, I know you're saying, oh, we don't care we lost. Is that just because you lost? Or you genuinely, if you would have gone and beat City 4-0, would you be sitting here both telling me, we don't care we beat City 4-0, we don't care we beat the champions?
Sorry, just quickly. Charlie, you've seen me in studios after West Ham lose, after West Ham lose games that actually matter. Mm. And, you know, I'm in a far more downbeat and less chirpy mood than I am now. And no, honestly, it's nothing to do with that. If just say we've won 3-0, I'm not gonna come in here bounding, going, oh, buzzing. Guess what? Like, we came third in the Premier League Asia Trophy last week.
But it gives you validation, doesn't it? Because, admittedly, I watch Arsenal, and when they lose in pre-season, I think,
which when they play the Emirates Cup, they always do as well.
They do. Thanks for pointing out. But I'm not pulling my hair out. But I'm like, it worries me. It concerns me. Why does the defence still look leaky? Where's the stability? And when we do win, and West Ham do win, because I've been hearing for weeks, this is the best side we're going to put out. This is our best first team 11 in a Premier League for years. And then now I'm not seeing it in the pre-season. But when we do win those games, you're like, I'm right. This is the best side that we're going to put out. And we are going to do well this year.
I think If Haller and if Fornals and if the first team, first 11 were out there and they gave a performance to match the way we are bigging them up, which I think is right, you'll see them at Fulham this week and I think there'll be marked improvement. I think we'll show a lot more and we'll have a lot more about us. But I think what taken away from the Asia Trophy, it was pretty much the squad of last season against City, very decent team. Newcastle, they won't be our competition this year with a bit of luck, but I don't particularly think that the pre-season results matters. If we did beat them 4-0, I think, put the shoe on the other foot, City fans would be saying, oh, but we played all our youngsters and we did all this. So I think there would always be a reason to be a bit negative about pre-season as a whole. It's hard to judge as a fan, but I think you just got to look at it is get through with players being fit, getting minutes under their belt and playing a certain system, which is Pellegrini's way, and developing on it from last season. I think we kept the ball and we were pretty good that first half when everyone was fresh. I think that was good football from us. I think we looked very dangerous.
I think the problem is, I mean, Tom's right there, but the problem is, over the summer, fans generally are just so, you know, they've got nothing to grasp onto football news-wise. You know, the transfer silly season's in full flow. And by this
slow
time,
news week.
You know, and let's be honest, the majority of people now, football fans, are so bored of the transfer window. Whether their club has or hasn't signed anyone, they're bored of every day at work, like they do during the season, going on in their lunch and Googling West Ham or picking up the paper looking for the West Ham news or whatever. People are bored by this stage. Even though we've actually signed some players, they're bored. So they want something to grab onto. And these pre-season games, they provide that. But I guarantee there's, you know, if you looked back and said to the majority of fans who go week in, week out or follow the club week in, week out, you know, oh, 3 years ago, what was our pre-season form? No one really knows.
I don't remember.
But, no, of course they don't know. But then you say, well, how did we get on in the Premier League 7 years ago? And they go, oh, I remember this. And we lost to this team on the third game of the season. Then we were unlucky away on around Christmas time. People remember the games that matter. And, you know, unfortunately, no one's clamouring going, oh, yeah, we won the Betway Cup last year. Woo!
Nothing wrong with winning the Betway Cup. I still cling on to the Emirates Cup. But you've both told me tonight, then, pre-season doesn't matter. But then how important or unimportant are your next two fixtures against Fulham and Hertha Berlin, especially bearing in mind that you have had those defeats? Surely you do want one or two wins going into day one.
I think they will be more of a test about what our squad's actually got to offer, because I believe Seb Haller will play and Fornals, and they'll both get minutes under the belt, and we'll get more of a clue about the identity of our first team and what Pellegrini wants to play on that first game against Man City. But again, if we do go to Craven Cottage and we lose 3-2 or whatever, I would not be sat there and berating them on Twitter about the result, but I would be looking for application, and I'd be looking for people to get through the games fit and to get our best players getting as many minutes as possible so they're fit. And that's about it for me. I wouldn't be worried about the result at the end of the day, but they are bigger tests. The closer you get to the season, I think each game you've got to be a step above where you were the previous game. And that's the shame about Newcastle game, because we weren't better than we were against City, but there is reasons for that.
So then why, Tom, are some West Ham fans moaning on Twitter and saying, oh, we lost these games? If you two don't care, why does it mean so much to other fans?
No, I don't. You know what, you can't, like I said before, I honestly think it's that. It's because there's just nothing going on. There's nothing going on at the moment, is there? People honestly, you know, the majority of football fans, they might be semi-interested when Bale eventually moves somewhere, or when Neymar eventually moves somewhere, or when Harry Maguire eventually moves somewhere. But unfortunately, most days during the transfer window, it's, oh, this person reportedly linked with him, this person reportedly linked with him. And that's just the way it works. No one's fault. The papers are set up to cover football during the season, so when it's the off season, they have to write things, they have to cover things, they have to get things out. It's not their fault, it's no one else's fault, but people, they're thirsty for football news, aren't they? And especially, and when their club is playing, that's all they've got to go off, isn't it? You can't, I'm not sitting here giving people grief for caring about pre-season friendlies. It's just my personal opinion. I'm not too bothered, but I totally understand why, you know, people get into it. This is the first pre-season for quite a while. Well, if ever, I think that you know, pre-season games have been on Sky. They're trying to make a big deal of this Asia Trophy and the International Champions Cup that the other teams are playing in. And, you know, fair enough. So people have now they've got the opportunity to watch the games on the telly, rather than normally West Ham's ones are in Switzerland or Austria, and we get the match report. You might follow the blog if you're that bothered, but ultimately, a game against Altac or Bad Rabaz or whoever we normally play.
The big guns.
Exactly, yeah. It just doesn't matter. But like you say, to some people, I completely understand when, and there's nothing going on, you want news from your club and they're playing a game, so you get into it as you would if it was during the season.
And also, we were a bit spoiled last summer in the sense we had so many players coming through the door that every other week there was a new transfer room to get a bit excited with, which would have a termination in us getting the players. So I think this year, taking the club forward by just looking to buy proven talent which is going to come straight into the first team. I mean, our whole transfer policy and the whole summer off for the club is very different to what it was last year. So I think it's part of that as well, that we're just adjusting to that in a sense.
But I would still, honestly, if you said to me now, and I'm sure any fan would really, I would take three defeats from Fulham, Hertha Berlin and Atletico Bilbao for, you know, 7 points from our first three games.
I'm going to hold you to that for when we talk next week. But you did say it's a slow news week. Lots of, you know, players, are they coming? Fans are thirsty for that football transfer gossip. Have West Ham finished their business? We're going to be talking a little bit more about their transfer incomings and maybe a few outgoings next.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the West Ham Fan Show here on Love Sport with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I've been joined by Tom Edwards and Will Pugh of West Ham World. Now, we're talking a little bit about pre-season. I want to talk about transfers, because we know you've broke your record transfer signing, 45 million. Will, was it the 39th striker
since Golden Sullivan took over? There were a few anomalies in those. James wasn't very happy that Pablo Barrera was included in the stats, or Terry Dixon,
and a Fulan as well.
There were a few, yeah, but Terry Dixon, who James tells me sounds like an old plumber of his, who signed on, I think, and then went on to play for Canvey Island again not long after. But yeah, but no, we've whether it's 39, 35 or 36, we've signed a hell of a lot of strikers who haven't done anything.
Well,
since
I did
Golden
say
Sullivan.
39 is the magic number. I'm very excited to see him this year. Although, just quickly, I do take umbrage with the way they announced it in that video. What was that video where they were getting him to dance and it was like 80s discotheque? I weren't a fan of that.
No, well,
don't tell me you enjoyed it.
Of course you did. No,
you
did. Yeah,
got him two-stepping as well, yeah. Didn't it? Yeah.
I'm very much an 80s
disco
kind of man.
I've seen the videos of Declan Rice dancing. No one wants to see those
again. That was the worst. That was it.
It was peculiar. I think everyone's just getting caught up in the hype this summer, though, to be fair, aren't they? Like, it's almost, the fact we'd signed a £45 million striker, it didn't really matter what they got him doing in front of camera. Everyone's just buzzing about the signing.
How excited, then, is it that you have now purchased someone for £45 million? Because we've heard about it for years, haven't we? This £40 million that West Ham have had to spend. How excited is it that it's Sebastian Haller?
I mean, I think just in general, just seeing his output in the Bundesliga alone, you know we're getting a top quality player who's done it in the Europa League. He's done it at very high level for a sustained period of time. Everyone just looks at his Frankfurt years, but he scored goals way before that at Utrecht, and he's built for the Premier League. He's 6'3". He's very strong. He's very good back to goal. His shooting stats are something like he only took 2 shots outside the box all season last season, which means he knows where the goal is. He wants to be in the box as a proper number 9, and I think that's what we've been crying out for. Like we said, however many 39 whatever strikers, none of them have got above 11 goals, I think it is, Arnautovic 2 seasons ago, and that's saying something. Bear in mind we bought him as a winger anyway, so to have a proper out-and-out striker who knows what his role is, to score goals, link between our talented technical players, which we do have a lot behind them in Lanzini and Fornals, and just generally to be that focal point of the team that we have probably has stopped us from beating the teams around us who sit deep against us at home, like Wolves last season when they came and they beat us 1-0, they're a very good team, but we just didn't have that focal point, and it's games like that where he will make the big difference, and well, I'm very excited for that.
We know it's a large chunk of money, and before we talk about potential outgoings, is West Ham's business done now? Is there any more that we could see potentially on the way in?
I hope so, certainly. Do you still say that West Ham need more then? Absolutely, yeah, because ultimately I think the sign of Haaland, yeah, I agree with Tom, I'm really excited for it. However, we needed to do it. You know, Arnautovic in different circumstances was a £35-40 million striker already. So when one of them walks out the door, albeit not for that money, through different circumstances, we needed to replace him. So I am excited for Haller, but I'm also, it was necessary. It was necessary. It wasn't like, oh, brilliant, this is a bonus. It was like, we're a Premier League club pushing for the top half of the table as a minimum. You need a decent striker. Like, if we were going into the season with one recognised centre forward on the books in Javier Hernandez, that's the schoolboy running of a football club, if they'd let that happen. And I also think that applies to having 2 recognised centre forwards on the book. I can't wait to see Haller in the flesh. I really can't. And obviously he is our number one. But unfortunately, as what happens with football, we see it with Yarmolenko, even Sanchez. I know lesser things were expected of him, but these new players are coming to the club and they're trying to get on board with the physical nature of the Premier League. Injuries happen. Yarmolenko is like a new signing this season because he was injured so soon after he came in. No, he is.
No, and the same thing. Famous saying, the new signing.
That's it. But the same thing could happen to Haller. There's, you know, he's brilliant and I am excited, but injuries happen. That's football. So I do still think it would be foolish at this stage to go into a new season with 2 centre-forwards on the book, albeit one is a £45 million rated, a guy we're really excited to see playing Claret and Blue. You know, when Hernandez is your only backup, who's a completely different striker to Haller and a completely different striker, in my opinion, to the one we need to fit West Ham and Pellegrini's style of play, I think we need at least 1, potentially 2 more forwards to come in. And then, you know, maybe sort of between 2 to 4 others in other positions in the squad just to whack up the squad depth.
4 to 6 more players. There's only 15 days left in a window. Are West Ham realistically going to sign 6 more players?
Sadly, we won't sign those players, but if the all the things coming out the club and what they want to achieve this season actually push for Europe, I mean, that's probably what we need. First 11-wise, I'm very confident in them pushing and closing the gap between the top 6 and hopefully finishing best of the rest outside of that. But we do need the midfield, needs beefing up because there's a lot of injury-prone players in there. Lanzini and Wilshere. Fornals is going to adapt to the Premier League. I don't know how he's going to get on physically and like with his body. But so we need another midfielder. With obviously Obiang, like we mentioned, might be going out the door. We need to replace that. We need another midfielder. I think the back four basically picks itself at the minute, except the left back role. But I think another fullback wouldn't go amiss. But we're not. It's not going to happen. But I'd say 2. Maybe a defender, midfielder, and I would love a forward in because I don't think Hernandez has proven over these last 2 years that he's not really up to it, especially on his own up top. It's just not his game.
Just quickly on that then, which signing, if you have to choose, are you more excited about, Fornals or Haller?
Oh, Haller, I think, purely because we've had talented midfielders at West Ham in the past few years. We've had Payet, we've still got and have Lanzini, who's absolutely mustard. Philippe Anderson has, you know, shown flashes last season that he could be a really special player, and I'm excited to see him play this year. We've had good midfielders before. We mentioned those stats earlier on. It's in the mid to late 30s how many strikers we've signed in the past, you know, few years. And, you know, we've had, I still look back at Sacco. He was you know, look back at the time, and he was decent. He was decent.
His numbers that's what were you pretty say good. About
him. That's it. Yeah. He was a good centre forward, but in when you put him in a West Ham shirt, he looks like, you know, he looks like R9 Ronaldo in compared to the others who've played up front for us. So I'm excited to see a centre forward who can just put the ball in the net. Don't you just, you know, he's a bit of an all-rounder and just scores goals for the club. And because we've been blessed with a few decent midfielders in the past few years, but centre forwards who can put the ball in the back of the net, which is what they're paid to do, we haven't been blessed with any of those, yeah.
Well, you said potentially need 4 to 6 more players. Is it a case then that West Ham are going to have to offload a few, trim the fat, get rid of the deadwood before they do make those signings? Because wages are a problem. We always talk about transfer budgets, but it's the wages as well, isn't it?
Well, we mentioned that is, you know, earlier on about people are thirsty for news at the moment, and really this week has been a bit of a quiet one. The only news of note is Pedro Obiang on his way to Sassuolo in Serie A. By the sounds of it, he went there. He's had a medical. He came out and he made some, although it hasn't been officially confirmed yet, he made some comments to Sky Italy when he turned up for the medical. He just said, "I returned to Serie A as a more mature player after my time in the Premier League." You know, the Sassuolo opportunity came about before the transfer window opened because they had a call from the coach, Roberto De Zerbi. So it sounds like, you know, I think we've all really known that Obiang's going to have been on his way for a while, although it hasn't been officially confirmed. It sounds like it's a matter of time before he departs for about £8 million. And, you know, I won't be too sad to see him go. I think he's done all right. He's played over 100 games for the club, and he always put a bit in. That rocket at Tottenham away was one of the best goals I've ever experienced.
Forever in the annals for that, at least.
Yeah, exactly.
He's legend.
That. Yeah, exactly.
And then there's the reports this week of Javier Hernandez going to Real Valladolid. R9 Ronaldo, I mentioned earlier, is the president
who
there.
I know you're desperate for him to stay at West Ham, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not his biggest fan, obviously, so I'm obviously scouring reports for him maybe leaving the club every single day. But yeah, Ronaldo, so the Brazilian Ronaldo, who's president of Real Valladolid, is apparently a huge fan and is keeping tabs on his situation. There's talk, obviously, Jordan Hugill as well. We touched on it last week, and that seemed to it was reported that he had refused basically the move because Wigan wanted to pay him £18,000 of his reported £40,000 a week wages. And, you know, fair enough, I wouldn't take half either. There was talk of West Ham topping some of that money up with either some of the £4 million transfer fee they're reportedly going to get. I think we'll still see him leave the club. Will be departures.
Yeah, there has to be departures. I mean, our wage bill is massive. The people we are talking about then came pre David Sullivan and David Gold's forays into the market as proper businessmen. They came when they would just pay people whatever they wanted to come and play for us to fill a gap. Like Hernandez is on, whatever he's on, 100 plus grand a week. He's going to be very hard to shift, and he is a decent player. And for me, I don't think you get rid of him until you replace him. So you get ready-made replacement. Because we're thin on the ground with forwards, at least, especially with Hugill. That's turning into the Poundland Bale transfer saga, isn't it, really? He's staying because he wants to earn money, Jordan Hugill. And at the end of the day, we need to shift him. Obiang is as good as done and good out the door. So I think more will come. And I think towards the end of the market, when teams get more active and they really realise the value of these players and who's available, I think we'll see a few more of the fringe squad players have bids come in, and I think we'll do a bit more in the transfer market as it gets on.
You just mentioned it there, Tom, though. You're happy with your first 11, but it's the players who are coming through, you know, your rotational players, your backups. In a Premier League season, which is long, it's tough, it's rigorous, you know, midweek games, they can come thick and fast, especially over the Christmas period, suspensions, injuries. Surely you don't want to be at West Ham now with a transfer policy of we'll get rid of them, then we'll replace them, because you're going to need depth. And these aren't just players who haven't really cut the mustard, Will, as you put it. They're still good enough, aren't they? They can still contribute.
I think there's been a change under Pellegrini in
big club
mindset.
Mentality.
He does talk about that all the time, and I'm going to get that tattooed on me soon, because I think that's the favourite thing I've heard come out the club for a while. But I do think there's a big club mentality aside, there's been a change in mindset as far as transfers go, where the old classic West Ham signing, and I put that in quotes, of trying to get a bargain transfer fee wise on a player at the end of their career. I'm talking a la Nasri, a la Hernandez, a la Freddie Ljungberg, Kieran Dyer. You know, I've reeled off these names a million times before. You know, and I think Zabaleta, to be honest, I thought he was going to be the same. He's the only one who's really worked out, in my opinion,
Personality-wise, I think he's different type as
that's
well.
That's it. And he's provided some value for money. But I think there's been a change of mindset in that. You know, Diop is an excellent example of that. You know, where I think Pellegrini's gone, no, we don't want those players on the way down in their careers anymore who've already peaked, therefore their motivation is, you know, leave somewhat to be desired. We want players at the beginning of their career where, and I'm all right with this, where, you know, maybe they do see West Ham as a bit of a stepping stone for a couple of years, whether it's, you know, Diop, prime example. If he carries on the trajectory, he was linked with Man United this summer, but he carries on as he is, there's no reason, you know, why in a couple of years' time, if he keeps improving, it might be that one of the big clubs comes in and says, right, here's 85 million, here's 90 million for him, we want him off your books, blah, blah, blah. To be worth that amount, and that's fine, and Declan Rice might be the same as well. There's lots of, you know, young, hungry, and I thought the same with Lanzini, that I thought he'd be Liverpool bound by now, and perhaps if it wasn't for the injury, he would. But I don't think there's any problem in that mindset at a club, because if any one of those three names I've mentioned, or anyone else, Fredericks even, if he comes good, is worth tens and tens of millions of pounds, knocking on the door of 100 million, that means they've done something spectacular for our club in the meantime. And I look at the Modric and Bale situation at Tottenham, and I look how they dragged that football club up a level while they were there, so which was good at the time, and then it was double good when they went out the door. They got tens of millions of pounds in, which enabled the club to reinvest in the squad.
You do. I know you want to jump in there, Tom, just quickly. You do have to reinvest that money wisely, though. It can go the other way.
No, disagree. I don't think Tottenham reinvested their money too wisely. I think Soldado was bought in for 30, 35 million, which at the time was probably equivalent of 60-odd million today. Didn't do anything at all. But it enables you to go out and learn some lessons and spend the money. And if it's spent well, happy days. If it's not spent well, okay, you learn lessons. At least your club's not stagnating.
Yeah, massive. I think the age of the two big money signings, Fornals is, what, 24 and Haller's 25, is the exact same model of people we're trying to get into the club who are on the rise. You've got, Haller pretty much came in and said it's pretty much a step in to hopefully get into the French squad and then go from there, and pretty much say that he wants to score a lot of goals for us, but then after that, you never know. He's obviously reaching for the top, as Declan Rice has numerously come out and said he wants to play in the Champions League, and hopefully these guys can take us nearer there, like Europa League or whatever. But at the end of the day, we are aware that we're going to use some of these good, young, talented players, but it is really refreshing to see us go after these rather than the has-beens who have had a troubled season at, say, an Arsenal or Chelsea, who've probably over the hill, and then we've come in and maybe got them on a cheap transfer window, but we're paying them a lot of money which they don't deserve.
Well, you just heard it there from Tom and Will. The club are entering a new dawn, and it's a new mentality, one that's working. And next, we're going to be talking to Lee Hodges to see if he agrees.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the West Ham Fan Show with me, Charlie Hawkins, here on Love Sport Radio, and I've been joined by Will Pugh and Tom Edwards from West Ham World. Now, I just said we're going to get Lee Hodges on the phone. He's not answering, but we're going to keep trying. It feels like the bubble just keeps continuing to burst. It's a bit like pre-season. I've let you down. He's delivered so much and offered so little.
Don't worry. A lot of positive reaction to the news earlier that we were having Lee on the show. He's very much a cult hero.
Oh, no.
At the club, when I was coming into it. But there's still time yet, so not to worry. But
it's just in his barnet. That's something he's sorting himself out. Yeah.
He's heard. We've G'd him up. And he's got
exactly
a little time. He's just gone. He's just fixed it, yeah.
But while we're waiting for Lee to come on, we've got obviously, we've mentioned some of the app potential outgoings earlier on. There's the other sort of low-key news this week, if you like, was the mention of Gary Medel coming in to the club as well. I think he's at Besiktas at the moment. Obviously played for Cardiff for a bit, relatively unsuccessfully. He's a Chile international, and he's had some, you know, I remember the first time I saw him, he was one of those names that burst onto the scene at one of the big tournaments, and he thought, oh, brilliant. And when Cardiff signed him, it didn't really work there, and there's been some quite negative reaction, to be honest, on all the West Ham social media platforms since that news broke. I'm not really sure what to think, to be fair. He would be a squad player, but I don't know what you think, Tom.
He'd be a marked improvement on Carlos Sanchez for sure. I mean, what I've seen, I know it's pre-season, so you're saying it doesn't matter, but he's a much better footballer than Carlos Sanchez. He's more mobile, he's better on the ball, so I think you are improving the squad to somewhat. I'm not saying he's a world beater, but he is an improvement, and I'm not going to knock an improvement on the squad, and I think it's a pretty cheap transfer for us. I think it's
Is he better than Obiang?
Probably, I'd say, yeah.
But you do need the depth we've talked about. We know your first 11. Well, it is show one, the last Wednesday show before we move to the Tuesday. But we've delivered the big news. Lee Hodges is on the line. Lee, thanks for joining. How excited are you about West Ham in the upcoming season?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a couple of signings we got on that, and hopefully they'll do well. I watched them the other day against Newcastle. That wasn't great, but obviously pre-season is pre-season. So hopefully just get the season underway and see where we are, really.
Lee, we spoke a little bit about that earlier. The boys are telling me that pre-season doesn't really matter. I'm of the opinion, not that it matters so much, but you still want to go out there and get a result. As a former player, is that true? Does it not build momentum?
For me personally, I mean, when I was at West Ham, you just wanted to be in the starting lineup for the first game of the season. So I wasn't really in the first team, so I'd be trying my hardest and doing as best I could to sort of show the gaffer that I was ready to play. At the minute, I think the guys there, I think it showed that with the Newcastle team, just having a new manager watch, the standard that they went up from the game before was chalk and cheese. So, I mean, I think they're all... when I watched that game, for me, West Ham were just sort of going through the motions and just sort of looking at it as fitness. So I can understand why they wasn't on full tilt, but I think now they've got to start getting to the top to start being ready for the first game of the season.
Lee, just before we go on to the, you know, hopes and expectations for next season, I was absolutely buzzing when I heard you were coming on the show earlier on. You were very much, from when I was growing up and started watching West Ham, a bit of a cult hero, and there was some positive reaction online and amongst my mates to the fact you were coming on. I just remember the number 25 shirt in the gold strip, and I was quite surprised, to be honest, to see that it was only, you know, a handful of first team or senior appearances you made for the club. You're there for quite a long time. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, I did end up getting I ended up having 13 cartilage operations in the end, but I tore my cartilage and I struggled then to really kick on, and I did have some good players in front of me. I think a few times I deserved that I should have played. I think it was enough opportunity that I thought I deserve to, but Gaffer at the time, Harry, he had his team, he had the players that he was bringing through, bringing in, and I just didn't get that chance.
Who were you up against at the time? Because it was like the mid to late 90s you were at the club, wasn't it?
Yeah, like Michael Hughes, he was on the wing. I don't really like to play in the hole. When I first played, it was in the hole, and it was like Al Berkovic, and at the time, Al Berkovic was... When he arrived, he was flying, to be fair.
Yeah, of course,
So it was hard. It was hard. It was, if I was good enough, I'd have been put in. And obviously, the gaffer didn't think I was. And they did offer me another couple of years to stay. But when I said to Harry, what is the chances of me getting a chance? He said, it would be tough for you. So I made the decision, whether it be right or wrong now, to move on and just try and make a career and try and start at the bottom and bring it back up again.
Lee, you were in and around the squad at quite an exciting time at West Ham, with supposedly the dressing room was meant to be something to behold. Like, what were the main characters? Who were the main characters at that point? Was it as carnage as everyone says?
Away trips would be good. I mean, on the way back, if we won, I mean, just be buzzing and have a few beers going and music going and straight out. So it was totally different to where it was. I mean, Dixie, John Artson, Monks. I mean, we had some proper lads, like funny lads as well. It was a bit nutty, I've got to be honest.
So obviously probably a little bit of a different dressing room environment now to what it was when you were at the club, Lee, but looking forward, obviously we've made some good signings. Certainly, you know, you've got Felipe Anderson, Pablo Fornals, Sebastian Haller, players that sort of the envy of a lot of teams across Europe. What are you excited for the season like the rest of us?
I mean, I just want, hopefully they'll gel together and start as well as they can do. I mean, Anderson, I mean, if he's on his game, he's one of the best players in the Premiership. But just whether you can get him doing that week in, week out, and him having the players around him to be able to do that week in, week out. And hopefully we'll find another good couple that can kickstart him every to play how he does every week, really. And I think the boys at the back look solid. I mean, if we can get Jack Wiltshire fit and also keep him fit, he's like having a new signing as well for me. For me, he's one of my favourite players in the Premiership. So if he can get back to anywhere near where he was, that's even another signing. So hopefully, yeah, I mean, I'm always excited at the start of the season. You never know where you could go, but you know, we're West Ham, right? I'm a West Ham fan.
Never know.
You've got to not say that. Wrong, it's all got to be positive. We really appreciate you coming on, Lee. Thanks for taking some time this evening to take care of it. Lee Hodges there on the line. He came through then, didn't he, at a time it was exciting, wasn't it? It was a real big dressing room, lots of characters. The stories he must have. It's a shame there that the line was a bit flickering, but it's such a shame also I picked up there 13 cartilage operations. You know, as a player, you know you've got the ability, you know you've got the potential, you're on a sideline, you're on a treatment table, and everyone else is just sort of making their impression in the team, and you're sort of being held back, ain't you?
Honestly, I vividly remember him. I just started coming into watching West Ham around that mid-90s. He was there from 95 to 99. He's a plasto lad anyway, and I always remember, you know, whether he only made, say, three league appearances, I think, seven, like not even 10, I think, in the cups. And yeah, but I always remember him. He was like the poster boy for the French crop. I remember that, and I used to do my hair just like him at school. And
still do it now.
That's it. Yeah. But I remember him being around the club for a long time, and he was a local lad, and everyone did want him to do well. But he's mentioned the players he's up against then. Mm. Michael Hughes had an absolute bullet of a left foot. Ile Berkovic would, you know, he'd run ring. He was like the forerunner of Yossi Benayoun, that little tricky winger who's class with John Hartson, and you know, Harry Redknapp. He had a class team at the time, and it would have been a hard one to get into if you get injuries as well. But, you know, lucky for Lee, he did go on to have a fairly successful career. He made over 100 appearances in the end for Scunthorpe. So it was certainly good to hear from him, though.
Lee Hodges there, one club legend. Next, we'll be talking about another club legend.
Love Sports.
You're listening to the West Ham Fan Show with West Ham Hurl, with me, Charlie Hawkins, Will Pugh and Tom Edwards here on Love Sport. And it was great to speak to Lee Hodges there. We've talked about transfer incomings, transfer outgoings, pre-season. The record transfer has been broken. But now time for a special segment, because it's time for Club Legend of the Week.
See what your club legend was wearing at classicfootballshirts.co.uk. The place for football shirts.
I'm excited about this one. I hope you've... Is this a team decision?
Oh, it is a team decision. It was a little bit... We were unsure last week in the studio because we were arguing over whether it should be Carlton Cole or Dean Ashton, but this is unanimous on all fronts.
I've got to say, because I voted for Dean Ashton last week, but you went for Carlton Cole, didn't you?
I was very much Carlton Cole, yeah. We had Brad in from Sky Sports News and a West Ham fan as well, but he was adamant that Dean Ashton was the one. I think more because of Dean's England credentials and the fact that Carlton is a bit more of a lovable hero. But this week's one, unanimous.
Well, just quickly there, though, on Dean Ashton, we spoke about Lee Hodges and the injuries. Dean Ashton, I think, would have had such a different career. I remember that FA Cup final and when he scored and then when he had to go off. I was even a little bit heartbroken. I was gutted. It completely changed the game and his career, didn't it?
He's one of those players who was just so intelligent. He didn't have the physical attributes of being rapid and playing on people's shoulders, but he can front people up and put other people in the game, like what we want Seb Haller to do. He backed people up and he was very, very intelligent, and he was one of those players just coming into his peak, getting in the England squad, and Sean Wright Phillips, of all people, curtails his career for good, and it is such a shame. Such a shame.
Well, it is time for the club legend of the week. I've dragged it out. Tease us no more. Will, who is it?
This week it is a man who comes from near Moscow, and is, of course, the one and only Ludo McClosco this week. Goalkeeping legend, all-round nice guy. And, yeah, just an absolute hero. And the father of one of the greatest West Ham songs that there ever has been and probably ever will be.
Give us a verse.
Well, my name is Ludo McClosco. I come from near Moscow and I played in goal for West Ham.
West Ham.
Yes, and that was your club legend of the week.
See what your club legend was wearing at classicfootballshirts.co.uk. The place for football shirts.
I think we can speak about him a little more, but I just love to, that we could have ended it on that song. It was brilliant. Yeah. West Ham.
That's it. Well, when he walks down the street, everyone that he meets says, "Oi, big boy, what's your name?"
And what? Then, There's more verses? Yeah,
of course there is.
Never stops.
Yeah. But no, Ludo, an absolute hero at West Ham. I say, we mentioned that song there, and it's still sung with absolute gusto at away games and in away pubs up and down the land and in the home end, luckily enough. Absolute great player. Again, lucky enough that Ludo was in goal when I just started getting into football at West Ham. And from my, he was voted number 22 in the 50 greatest West Ham players vote in 2018. Obviously, most well remembered on the 14th of May 1995 when he stopped Manchester United from winning the league in a one-all draw at Upton Park. Absolutely heroic. And from my point of view, I just love a bit of a Czech link, because Thomas Repka, super Thomas Repka, in fact, is one of my favourite all-time West Ham players. I used to mould my right-back abilities on him when I was playing on
a
Sunday.
Lot, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. When I was playing on a Sunday. And
that tells me a lot about
exactly
your ability.
I used to play, yeah.
And, the refs there.
It's that Czech Republic link we've got, Ludo's. But yeah, an absolute hero at the club. And he said, you know, only last year, I think, in an interview, that he can't believe how the fans still sing his name all the time, but a true legend.
True legend. He took over from Phil Parks, so one legend to another. I mean, he 318 games in the league. He did it all. Hammer of the Year in 91, was it?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, so he's done. He's done more. Any person who's still sung about this many years after you played, you know they've done something right. And he is just one of those people who you didn't even have to see him play, but you remember him fondly in the West Ham, in the West Ham sphere. Even when he took over as goalkeeping coach, was it under Pardew?
Yeah, he was there for quite a while. So he left under a little bit of a cloud. He went for a few different managers, didn't he? But no one. But again, the class of the man. No one commented it. There was no when he left the club as goalkeeping coach. No disrespect. No nothing. It's just one of those things. He just got on with his life.
I'm still smiling. I'm so happy that you both sung and it was in unison. Loved it. But we have been talking about club legends, and it's now time to do a little quiz on other West Ham legends and see how much you both know. We're putting you both to the test. This is a quiz from James, obviously. He's done it this week. So he's got a lot to live up to, because he has been dubbed Deadwood. I think he's better than that, James. But let's see how much you really know about West Ham.
Worth remembering, Charlie, as well, that the last time Tom was in the studio with me, I drubbed him 2-1.
Felt like he saw the answers before, actually.
If I'm honest, you got the Todorov one, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah, and I think that was like the hard one.
I think I had Paolo Futre, and I can't remember. Radice might have been the other one, but it was some.
It doesn't help if you study, though, Will. I feel like you're big
he
on
knows
research.
What he's in for, yeah.
Well, let's go then. Three players, five clues for each. Player one, and clue number one, I love it. Look, they've got their pens out, paper out. It's all very serious in the studio.
Man, oh man.
Player one. Clue one, they were born on the 20th of September, 1967. So I'm assuming you both know who it is already. Clue two, they started their career at Ipswich Town.
All right, yeah, that's still nothing.
Clue three, this is where it gets interesting. This player was born in Canada and has 50...
Got it.
Go on.
Craig Forrest.
He's got it.
I would not know.
Hey! We've got sound effects this week.
This is what we're doing.
That's 3-1 on aggregate now,
yeah,
Tom.
That's not
so
good,
you
yeah
did say the West Ham fan show was getting bigger. That's what we do, that's sound it effect. It's only a little bell.
Sounds good.
The budget's on the way up.
All right.
Yeah. So that's 3-1 on aggregate.
It from this clue, because maybe I should have swapped them just quickly. I was going to say, is now the Canadian Fever Ambassador for SOS Children's Villages.
I would have got that.
Yeah. Sorry, mate. All right, player two. Clue number one, born in Yugoslavia, 19th April 1985.
Right, okay.
Clue number two. I love it, Will. Yeah, right, okay. He knows, he's just teasing us. Clue number two, they played the majority of their career in Italy.
Still nothing from me.
Clue number three is where you got it last time. 50 appearances for West Ham, scoring 4 goals in 3 years.
Blimey, it could have been any of the strikers we've had.
Yeah.
4 goals in 3 years. No, go on.
Well, this is where it gets interesting, because clue 4, capped 83 times for Switzerland.
Oh, got it. Is it? No, Valombarami?
It is.
Oh, no. I was going to say that.
I've stormed
2-0. Tom.
He was born
get
in Yugoslavia.
Yeah, I've done it. Right, he's done it to me again.
Sword into one, a 2-0 lead again.
Right, well, this one's worth double points if you get it. Yeah, come on, Tom. I'm with you here. Right, player three. Clue number one. Born 26th of February, 1978.
That's the problem for me. It's the quick maths I'm trying to do. Yeah. It's not doing me any favours.
And that year was a leap year. No, I don't know. Clue number two. They played in England for 9 years between 2005 and 2014.
Okay.
Clue number three. They were born in Senegal and had 36 caps.
Abdoulaye Faye?
Yes!
Oh, come on.
2-1 again.
No.
That's a resounding 4-2 victory over two legs.
We don't do
me,
on
though.
Aggregate scores.
Well, that was double actually. Yes.
We just do winner of the night. Was that quiz? Was it hard?
I must admit, let's be honest, that was better than James's last one he put forward for us in his absence, was he? But again, he's taking the Deadwood comments on board, isn't he? And he's stepping up his game.
He has to, because like now he's got Tommy. He's got competition.
That's
he's had someone else last
not
week.
Not in the quizzes, obviously.
I know. Does Tom even? Does James even know that it's moved to Tuesday? Might not be.
I haven't told him. Yeah.
Is this the big news? You said we've got some surprises on the West Ham show.
James has been let go to Sassuolo's podcast with Pedro Albiang.
He's now playing his podcast trade in Mexico.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, those were your three players there. Do you have fond memories of those three players?
You know what? Valombarami, yes. Particularly.
He was a workman in there. He had a really good career. He ended up playing for Napoli. I think he was a properly good player. I think he just picked West Ham at a poor time when the rest of the team weren't particularly.
Yeah, I do. He was class. He had an engine on him, didn't he? Really big time had an engine
bit
on him.
Bit of a fan favourite at one point. He got about the field, made big tackles. He was very, very good player, honest player.
Craig Forrest was one. He was just the perennial understudy, wasn't he? He was one of those keepers, a bit like Raymond van der Hal, who was just like a number two for forever.
Wasn't he part, actually, of when West Ham, sorry to bring it up, lost 7-1 to United? He was the keeper, weren't he?
I don't want to talk about it.
Sorry. Listen, Arsenal lost 6-1 to United, so we've all been there. Don't worry.
This is true. Yeah, but Abdoulaye Faye, he, again, come in, he
did his
job
in the Championship.
He?
Yeah, he got us promoted. Yeah. He was one of the cogs of that to get in those dark days up at Hull on a Tuesday, whatever. He had some good performances. I remember him scoring one header at Upton Park. I can't remember who it was, but it was one hell of a header.
Yeah,
I've got relatively fond memories of him.
He was very much an Allardyce signing, wasn't he?
But he was only there for 1 year, so why didn't it work out? Why didn't he get a second year?
I don't even
think. Back in
I think
time.
He was over the hill. I think it was pretty accepted in the club that he was not going to add anything in the Premier League.
Yeah, he would exactly
did his
that.
Job. Did
yeah,
his job.
He did do his job. He earned his money. Whenever he'd come on the pitch, you weren't. Oh no, he was very much a Championship defender at the time. And yeah, got the club promoted.
Better than Danny Collins. We had the same season. We had Danny Collins, and he was leaps ahead of him.
Yeah. So, but no, fond memories of all three of them. To be honest, I think Valombarami in particular, out of that trio that James has plucked out of thin air there, I think Valombarami in particular was probably, like Tom said, he was playing for the club at a time where he was surrounded by he was probably there thinking, who am I playing with here? I think David Di Michele was his teammate for quite a long time.
He was in the quiz once, weren't he?
No. Oh, yeah,
he
might have been my other one last
one.
I've got so many answers right at this stage, Charlie.
Can we get anyone to
send them out?
Yeah. I think that's part. If we're moving forward, I can't have you winning on Tuesday as well.
Tuesday's my day. I'm always better on Tuesdays anyway.
Yeah, I thought that, Tom. Yeah, I think you stand much more of a chance on Tuesday. We've been talking a lot of club legends. Just quickly then, before we go, Fulham and Hertha Berlin results. Are we going to get the W's there?
Fulham, I would. I'm not sure. It depends what their front four this season looks pretty sharp. Managed to hold on to Mitrovic. I don't really know or care, to be honest.
Well, you heard it here first. That was the West Ham Fan Show with West Ham World. Join us next Tuesday rather than Wednesday because we'll be back here from 7 till 8 with a big Love Sport exclusive. We'll see you then.
This is Love Sport. Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.